So we're in a series now on the armor of God. And the last, we've had five different lessons on this. There are six pieces of armor identified in the Bible. And we've covered five. And today we're going to cover the last one. It's the sword. But Cheryl Boyd sent me a picture that I just got a kick out of. And it's a quote about the armor of God. Here's what it is. So I got on my bathroom scale this morning, and let me tell you, the full armor of God is heavy. Hallelujah. I just couldn't pass that one up. Mitch, what do you think? Isn't that true, the armor? I thought that was great. Thank you, Cheryl. So we've been talking about this thing called the armor of God, and I want to tell everybody what it is. It's a wardrobe of clothing that God has given to each of us. It's a special kind of garment. It's an apparel. And here's what we do. We get clothed on the inside. It's called the armor of God. Now, here's what the armor of God will do for us. It'll enrich your marriage. It will give you better relationships with your kids. It will make you more positive about the future. And wherever you go, you can be a better version of you if you got the armor on. Now, the thing is, we got to get dressed in it. I came to realize the armor is the difference maker in this category. Some people go through life and they're in it, they're to survive. They just want to survive. Life's tough. There's another group of people that don't just want to survive, they want to thrive. God has destined and made you to thrive. He wants you to be on the top of your game. He wants you to be fruitful. He wants you to live with purpose. And he wants you to feel excited about life. That's why when you get dressed in the armor, this clothing, this apparel, you know what's going to turn into? Victory. You're going to feel better about life. You'll have just a better outlook and you'll be more excited. So the armor of God is a wardrobe. It's clothing. It's a covering. So we've covered five different pieces of equipment or armor, and today we're going to do the six, but here's what I want to do this morning. I'm going to do a short review of each of the five pieces, then we're going to get to the sixth one. And I hope that as I do that, here's what I want you to do. I want you to examine your own life and say, am I getting dressed properly? Now, everybody here looks pretty good on the outside. You got nice clothes on, and we get dressed up. But this is an inside job. It's who you are in the inner person. And when you clothe your life with this, let me tell you, victory is yours because God elevates the level of living for us. So we're going to talk about, I'm going to give a review of the first five, and then we're going to get into the sixth one. Now, special thanks to Pat Reynolds. She had this toy armor set, so I'm using it as a visual. Thank you, Pat. And Priscilla's been wanting this series for some time, so thank you, Priscilla. We could do it. So let's get started. Here's a picture of the armor. And I'm going to start with the belt of truth. The Roman soldier had a belt that he wore to hold all of it together. Now, a belt is a pretty important piece of clothing for us. Most of us have belts on today. You know what it does? Holds up our trousers. It tucks in our shirt or a blouse. A belt does something that holds it all together. And here's the big application. If you and I take truth, God's truth, and we belt it to our hearts, we strap it to our inner being, you know what it's going to do? It's going to somehow hold life together in a brand new way. Gives us confidence and victory in living. So read with me in your notes, Matthew chapter 7. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like the wise man who built his house on the rock. When you strap truth to your heart, you know what you're going to do? You are building a foundation upon which to build your life. And Jesus said, they are wise people. The foolish man does not listen to Jesus' word And it says in the end, when the storm comes, you know what happens? Their house crashes with a mighty crash, and they're foolish. But to be wise, if you want to be wise, just to say, hey, I want to apply what Jesus says to me to my life, and I want to build my life on it. I'm going to strap that truth to my heart. You know what's going to happen? You're on your way to building your life on a solid foundation. So that's the belt of truth. Let's go to number two. The second one is the breastplate of righteousness. So a Roman soldier had a covering over his heart. You know why? If he can take the heart out, the main organ of the body, somebody's going to die. And so the soldier had a breastplate, a covering over his heart. Now here's what Jesus says. He says, I come along and he gives us a covering over our heart. It's called righteousness. Read with me the verses in your notes. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. Some people have their own righteousness. You know what that means? They think if they're good enough, it will get them to heaven. Nobody can be good enough on their own to arrive safely to heaven. We only get there in one way. You know what it is? It's a gift. A gift given by Christ, the righteousness of Christ applied to my life. Remember the story of the children of Israel when they left Egypt? And God was going to go through the land and all of the firstborn was going to die. But he told the children of Israel, he says, take the blood of a lamb, apply it to the doorposts of each house. And when I go through the land, I will see it and I will pass over that home. So they did that. And the people who had applied the blood were passed over, and the firstborn did not die in that home. The others did. The same is true of your life and mine. When we apply the breastplate, the blood of Christ is a gift to our hearts. He gives us something called his righteousness. And when God looks at us, you know what he sees? He sees us with a robe on. It's called the robe of righteousness and his goodness. So, number two, we have to have the breastplate by faith of his righteousness. Number three, I love this one. Soldiers had special kind of footwear. They wore a sandal that it covered the front end of their foot, but the back end was open for flexibility and being able to move quickly. And on the bottom of their sandals, these military sandals, they were hobnails. They're like cleats, a football cleat. And what it would do is it gave the Roman soldier sure-footedness. That wherever the soldier went, whether he was standing in place or advancing, he could be sure-footed. Now here's the point. You and I need to be sure-footed in our life. I mean, is there ever a time in history where, God help us, we need confidence in the midst of a world that is just out of control? We need to be sure-footed. Now, here's the secret. It's found in Colossians 3:15 in your notes. Let's read it. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Here's what he's saying. Let peace be the umpire of your life. What's that mean? It means that God's spirit within us tells us what we should and should not do. And our feet take us wherever our decisions are made. So here's the deal. You and I want to make sure that wherever our feet take us, it's a place of peace. Now, let me just give you three simple thoughts on the backside of your sermon listening guide that I think help. When you're about to make a decision and you have this inner sense, should I do this or not? If you have a red light within yourself, it's a conviction, I don't feel good about this, can I tell you, don't let your feet take you there. Now, if you have a yellow light, it means I kind of feel uneasy about it. I kind of want to do it. It means to wait. Don't let your feet take you to a caution yellow light. Be careful, because it's yellow. It's not red, it's not green. But here's the third color, a green light. When you get a green light at the downtown Walton or wherever you're at, you know that you can proceed. And so a green light in life is this. You have a sense of ease and peace that you should do it. Now, when you let peace umpire your life, every decision you make, red light, yellow light, green light. If we wait until we get green lights, our feet will take us to places where we feel at peace and comfortable about it. And so Paul is saying, get dressed. And your feet are important, because wherever your feet take you, the more you go to places of peace when you make a decision, the better off your life's going to be. All right. Number four. Love this one too. So one of the defensive weapons or pieces of armor of the soldier is the shield. Usually about 2 feet wide, 4 feet down. And this was made of wood, or it could have been leather. I mean, it was a heavy piece of armor. And the soldier would literally take his hand and hold it from the inside. And it had a purpose. It could extinguish the flaming arrows of the enemy that are shot at them. And so the shield defended the soldier. Now, read with me in your notes, Ephesians 6:16. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Listen, the shield is important, and the soldier could literally kneel down and his entire body would be covered by this 2-foot by 4-foot shield. You know who's most vulnerable in life? People that have no shield. They're lonely and they're isolated. The enemy seeks to destroy people. And the people that are most vulnerable have no face shield in their life. Now, here's what it will do. It will literally extinguish fiery arrows into your life. What are they? Maybe it's offendedness. You ever had somebody offend you? And you say, wow, that really hurt. If you lift the shield of faith and you deal with it properly, it will extinguish offendedness. What about this thing of doubt, when we wonder if we could do something and, you know, I kind of want to do it, but I don't feel I'm really confident. When you lift the shield of faith, like Peter did when he went fishing, and said, Lord, because you say so, I'll do it. Let me tell you, it can extinguish the doubt we feel in our life. Here's another one. What about guilt? Guilt is a fiery arrow, is it not? It's a dart. And we all deal with guilt from our past, or it could be something in the present. But when we deal with it properly, we lift the shield of faith, God's word, above our life, and we ask him through his power to extinguish the fiery darts coming at us. And so that's the shield of faith. Let's go to number five. So the fifth thing is the helmet of salvation. Now, last week we talked about the helmet. And a soldier would put this on. It would be made of iron or perhaps a heavy cloth. It would cover the back of the neck. And the helmet would protect the mind and the brain. Do you realize we need to protect what goes into our mind and our heads? I mean, the world, when you turn on the TV or you listen to, you're on social media, I mean, you just never know what's going to come up. And the more we protect what's in our head, let me tell you, the better off we're going to be. And so here's what we found out about the helmet of salvation. Read with me Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. But last week, for those that weren't here, we watched a video of a 5 or 6-year-old boy from China who got his head caught in a concrete banister on a walkway or stairway. And this young life, he put his head in an opening, a hole in concrete, and he couldn't get it out. And what happened was, they got firefighters or whoever, and the firefighters brought hydraulic spreaders. And they put it in between the concrete, and they started hammering on it until the concrete cracked, and the kid could pull his head out, and he got free. You see, you and I get our heads stuck in life. There's a hurt from our past or a disappointment. Could be yesterday or a week ago. Could be years back. We get stuck. And Paul says, when you put on God's word, the helmet of salvation, know this, God wants you free. And so if you're dealing with a place where you're hung up in life and you get an idea in your head and you're stuck, you can't get past it, you've been working on it for years. You wonder if it's worth it. Listen, here's the message. Somebody needs to hear this. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. He wants you free. Now, granted, some things take a long time to work through. Others are shorter time frame. But the point is this, when we understand that freedom is what Christ died for us to experience, listen, your life can go to a whole new level when you allow God's word, the hydraulic spreader, you put it in the concrete encasement and you stick with it and you keep hammering on it until you get free of the place you're stuck. That's what the helmet of salvation will do for us. So those five things we covered before, but I wanted to do a summary. Here's what I want us to do. Let's go back to the first part of the sermon listening guide. We're going to read together our text, then we're going to talk about the sword of the Spirit. Start with me, Ephesians 6:10, where it says, in conclusion. Let's read it. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with him. Draw your strength from him, that strength which his boundless might provide. You want to know the secret of it all? It's in this verse. The secret of wearing the armor and having a victorious life is in your union with him. Your relationship with Christ is the key and the secret of living a life of victory going forward. It's in your connection and relationship with him. Now, let's read verses 13 to 17 in your notes. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So we are on number six, the sixth piece of armor. You know what it is? The sword of the Spirit. Now, Roman soldiers had two types of swords. One is about 3 foot long. It's very heavy. And it would take two hands to use it in battle. But it could inflict great damage on the opponent. There was another sword they had. It was about 18 inches long. More like a dagger. And this dagger was sharp on both sides, double-edged. This is the one offensive weapon a soldier had. The other five are more defensive. It protects him. But this particular thing, the sword, is what could inflict the greatest damage or death or harm to the enemy. Now, here's what Paul says. He says, you know what? This sword is the word of God in your life. He spells it out. There's one piece of armor. He just gives the definition of it. And it's here. He says, the sword of the Spirit, it's the word of God. The other five, you got to figure it out yourself. But he says, the sword is the word of God. Now, I want to share with you, as we wrap up here, kind of go to the conclusion of this, three things the sword will do for you. Three things. And I want us to understand it's available to all of us if we want them. But read with me Hebrews 4:12 in your notes. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. I found it interesting. In the book of Hebrews, they said the word of God is living and active. And it compared it to a double-edged sword. But here's what it said. The word of God is sharper. It's sharper than any Roman soldier sword. And so the writer here says, hey, understand what the significance of the word of God is in your life. So three things this word, this sword, will do for you. Letter A. The word of God, which is God's word, the word of God right here, gives us authority to redeem your past. This word gives you authority to redeem, to redefine, to deal with your past. See, everybody here is a past. There's some things we're not proud of, some things we are. There's just a boatload of stuff that our past can be filled up with. But I want you to understand something. Our past often holds us back. And yet, the Word of God, as a sword, as a weapon, gives us authority to deal with our past. Let me give you an example. Let's talk about forgiveness. Sometimes we hang on to something, an offense that somebody has done to us. And some people have a hard time forgiving other people. That's not particularly my issue. My issue goes a different direction. It's harder for me to forgive myself. And some people will not forgive themselves or have a hard time with something in their past of forgiving themselves. God comes along and says, hey, I love you. I will forgive you. You need to forgive yourself. And we say, well, I just can't. I messed up too bad. He says, no, I want you to forgive yourself. And he hands us a promise that if we confess our sins and he'll forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, then he says, I want you to forgive yourself. There's authority in the sword, which is his word, to deal with your past. Could be something else. Maybe it's maybe you have a deep wound in your life. Somebody did something to you as a child or as a teenager, or it's just a hurt. It's a pain pocket. And you wonder if you're ever going to get past it, and you struggle with it. But then you read a promise from the Word, and God gives you a sword, and he gives you a promise, and he says, hey, I am the great healer of your emotional being. I can touch you, and you can find freedom. And you take that promise, and you begin to redeem your past. Why? He gives you authority to do it. The Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, is like an 18-inch dagger that when we apply it in the right way through faith to our past, he gives us authority to go after it, and we stick with it until we find that freedom or that new sense of healing. And I just want to say this. You know, there's people here, maybe it's a week old or maybe it's a decade old, and sometimes we get to a place where we want to give up. It's like, is this really worth it? I mean, can I ever change? Does this hurt ever go away? I mean, I've been there too. We totally get that. But I want to say this to somebody. If you stick with it, the Word of God is a hydraulic spreader, and it will set your head free from the encasement of concrete around it. We just got to stick with it. We got to keep after it. It's hard work, but let me tell you, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Freedom is the goal, and he wants it for you and for me. Letter B. The second thing the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, does us, it gives us direction regarding our future. There's a great story in the book of Acts. Paul is trying to go into Bithynia. He's on a missions trip. Isn't that a great thing? He wants to help people. The Spirit of God checked him and said, I don't want you to go that way. It was a red light. He's on a missions trip. Why wouldn't it be green? He got a red light. And he said, okay, won't do it. Then he has this vision of somebody in Macedonia, and it was like a call to go to Macedonia to help the people there. So he got a green light, and he went to Macedonia. Here's the point. Maybe there's something in your life that hasn't worked out, and you just kind of like, you hit a red light, it's a brick wall, and you're disappointed. Wait on God and let him give you the direction for the next step. And so he's all about giving us green lights at the right time. If we listen and follow him, you know why? The more green lights we follow in life, the better our life is going to be. It's just how it works in obedience to Christ. So understand the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, his promises. It deals with our past. Isn't that great? It's like, I'll take it. I want it. Number two, it deals with our future. You may be here today and you got a big decision to make. Maybe it's a small decision. Maybe it's medium. And you're saying, what do I really do here? What? God help me. I'm a little confused. And we all are in those intersections. Listen, if you and I clothe our lives with the armor, and intentionally in our union with him say, direct me, he'll do it. He'll give you direction of what you should do. All right, and finally, letter C. The third thing that the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, does for us is this. The Word of God gives us power in the present to battle the enemy of our souls. So understand there's present tense power to somehow help us deal with life. You know, if there's ever a time there's a mother here with her daughter for the kids' class downstairs earlier, and she was saying how last week was so busy. You know, they're going to this, and I think the girls in dance, and I mean, parents with young kids, they're on the move, are they not? I mean, life is busy. Let me tell you, you know what we need today? We need power. We need power to help us cope with all the demands of life, and the Word of God gives it to us to push back against our disappointments and our depression, our sense of, wow, I just don't feel good about life. If we clothe ourselves properly, he gives us a new outlook. So those are the six pieces of armor. Belt of truth, belt truth to your heart. Two, breastplate of righteousness, received by faith. God, clothe me with that. Your feet, what kind of shoes you got? Red light, yellow light, green light. Listen, when you listen to those or you look for those certain colors, your feet will take you to good places and it'll be marked by peace. Number four, shield of faith. Lift that up over your life every day. God, quench the darts of the enemy, my guilt, my self-doubt, whatever it is, and he'll do that. Number five, helmet of salvation. I love it that freedom is your destiny. And if your head is stuck somewhere and you haven't been able to get out, you're locked up in something, let me tell you, freedom is what Christ died for us to experience. And lastly, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. When you and I take this and we apply it to our past, we can redeem it, we can get free of it, we can be made whole. Our future, it will direct our steps if we allow him to do it. And then lastly, the power he can give us to in the present to be strong. Paul put it this way, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So concluding verse, let's read it together. It's in your notes. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Circle the word pray. And then I want you to write these three words. Activates the armor. When you and I take time to pray, it will activate the armor that we put on. And we always need to be in prayer because it's in our union with Christ that we find victory. All right. Well, thank you for your patience in walking through this. And the armor of God is what will give us victory going forward. I want us to close in prayer. And I want to take a few moments of silence where you clothe yourself. It's like, what is it that you need help with? So let's bow for prayer. And I'll just walk us through a couple of things here. You know, the most important decision any of us will ever make is whether Christ is living in us. And you may be here and he's already there, or you want to recommit, or maybe it's the first time. And I want to lead us in a simple prayer where you can just invite Jesus into your own life if you have never done that. Let's pray together. Pray this silently after me. Father, thank you that you love me. I confess I need you. I've been living life outside of the armor that you have for me. Forgive me of all my sins, of trying to do life on my own. I believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again and lives forevermore. Right now, by faith, I open the door of my heart and I ask Jesus Christ into my life. May he be my Savior and my Lord from this moment forward. With heads bowed and eyes closed, did anybody pray that for the first time and say, you know what, I just wanted to make him a part of my life? Anybody here? Put your hand up and put it down. Anybody? Thank you. Lord, I pray for this entire group of people that right now in the quietness of this moment, you'll do a deep work in many people's lives. And we're going to take a few moments of silence, and I pray that you'll speak to each heart, that they would clothe themselves with your armor. Father, I just pray for each one of us here that we will just look to you and find strength and power in our union, in our relationship with you. I pray for the person specifically that is stuck. They know who they are. They feel like it's in concrete. They can't get out. And I ask in Jesus' name, through the authority of your word, that you died for them to be free and that they will begin a journey in a new way of using the Word of God as an electronic, hydraulic spreader, that, Lord, you will set them free. Give them courage, give them perseverance, and give them strength. So, Father, going forth this week, help us to be different people because we will clothe ourselves with a wardrobe that only you can give. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.